Okay? I don't want to be a person who just goes to church because it's convenient, or I give a tip to the Lord because it's convenient, or I go and I do whatever I do. I don't want to just read the Bible because it's convenient, or pray because it's convenient. I want it to be something that's in my heart. And I pray that the Lord would work that in my heart. But see, we asked last week about discipleship, and those of you who would choose to be a disciple, and many of you did. If you didn't give me a card and you made that choice, I need to have that card. Okay? If you prayed to move from just beginning being an infant Christian to being a disciple of Christ, I need to know that. I didn't finish the message last week, which is quite common. So I'm going to continue with where we left off, kind of. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19, and it's not on the overhead, so you're going to have to turn there, because there's a companion passage in Mark that we're going to actually be looking at this morning. Last week we looked at Matthew chapter 19, but understand, when you're taught, we're looking at Matthew, and then we're looking again at Mark, and that's going to be on the overhead here in a minute. Matthew was writing primarily to Jewish audience. Okay? Mark is writing primarily to a Gentile audience, which is you. Unless you're a Jew. Any Jews in here? Okay. Mark was writing primarily to a Gentile audience, and so there's going to be some things that Matthew inserts into his writings that Jesus said and leaves some things out. And Mark is going to insert some things into his and leave some things out. So one of the things in Matthew, when Peter says, I have left all and followed you. I have left all and follow you. See, this is... So Jesus is saying... I'm sorry, Peter is saying, listen, I've become your disciple. I've left all and I followed you. I'm not anywhere yet. Actually, in Matthew, if you're looking at Matthew chapter 19, we're probably in verse 27. Okay? Then in a minute, we're going to actually have Mark on the overhead. Okay? So, see, we've left all and followed you, Peter says. So this is the definition of a true disciple, one who leaves all and follows the Lord. So before we go any further, I want to ask you a question. What have you had to give up to follow the Lord? If you say nothing, your old life. Good. Old friends. Family. Old pattern, habits, patterns of behavior. You've left your sorrow behind. Good. Good. If you've not left anything behind to follow Jesus, you're not a disciple of Christ. Okay? Peter said, I have left all and followed you. And then he asks the question, what then shall we have? In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said to them, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of His glory, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now let's go on to Mark, because Mark doesn't have that in his. He's ministering or sharing with the Gentiles. So in Mark chapter 10, it's on the overhead, it says, verse 28, Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house our brothers, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, or children, or lands for my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. That part Matthew left out. Matthew left that part out. With persecutions and the age to come, eternal life, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before I begin. Lord, there's some things that you're wanting to teach us today. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to you. Lord, leaving all to follow you is not the attitude of a convenient Christian. That's one who sold out to you. And Lord, Peter did that. Lord, as we are visiting these passages of Scripture today, I pray that you would minister to each of our hearts. God, you want us to have an intimate relationship with you. But Lord, we can't do that and bring our baggage along with us. So Lord, as I share today, I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts. Remind us of those things, show us those things that we need to leave behind to follow you. Lord, we've got visitors here today, and Lord, this message is for them as well as this congregation. And so, Lord, we submit this to you in the precious and holy and wonderful and awesome name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to talk about the rewards. Jesus said, since you have left all and follow me, there's going to be some rewards that you have and that you can experience. One of the rewards, he said, is that you're, in Matthew, he told the apostles, you're going to be in leadership positions. And I think that's the same. It can apply to us. We may not be judges over Israel, but here's what we find through Scripture and we find through experience, that the people who give themselves more wholly to the Lord, more daily giving themselves to the Lord raises them up in positions of leadership. He says, if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. So here's the thing. As we begin to give glory and honor and praise to the Lord, everything we do, we're giving Him glory and honor. We're not taking any glory for ourselves. We're not taking any honor for ourselves, but we're lifting Him up. We're making Him first, and we are last. Then what happens is that eventually He puts us in places of leadership. And He makes us first so that we can influence other people for the kingdom of God. The Lord wants each one of us to be influencers. And let me just tell you, you are an influencer. I'm just wondering what you're influencing. What you are passing on to those individuals who are looking up to you. Jesus wants us to be an influencer for His kingdom. And so daily, in order for us to be an influencer for the kingdom, we have to, remember last week, die to ourselves. Not allow those things that have been a part of our lives, part of our character, to come to the front, but we begin to let Jesus become that so that we can influence those around us. So we have to die to ourselves. He said, one other thing, if you will put me first, then I will put you first. I want to skip down to that portion of persecutions. I think it's E in our notes, but actually it probably ought to be B. So we're going to be looking at persecutions. How many of you think that's a wonderful word? No one likes persecutions. Nobody likes trials. Nobody likes to have tribulation in their life. But I want to tell you a secret. There's a cost to becoming a disciple. Let's just say a disciple is to love like Jesus. Okay? A disciple is to love like Jesus. Unconditionally. So what do you think God's going to do to help you love like Jesus? There's going to be unlovable people come into your life. Okay? Is that a trial? For some of you it is. For me it is. Is that a tribulation? Yes. So if we're going to become like Jesus, that means we're going to have to be tested in some areas. And as we're tested in those areas, we're growing up in that area. We're growing up in those areas. We don't just become like Jesus by making a decision. We become like Jesus by every day saying, I'm going to take on the image of Christ and I'm going to walk in Him. You're welcome to open those windows if you want to. It's getting kind of warm in here for some folks. And so, yeah, we don't want anybody going to sleep. And so when we're talking about persecutions, we're not, it could be that there are terrorists and others who would persecute us and torment us and torture us, as some of our Christian brothers and sisters are being tortured in other countries. But for us in America, it may not be that. But we're going to have to overcome our fear, aren't we? We have fear of rejection. We have fears of abandonment. We have fears of a lot of different fears. And to be a disciple of Christ, those are some things we have to overcome. And so the Lord puts us in predicaments so that we can grow in those areas. Okay? Another thing He says that we will have is an expanded family. An expanded family. So Jesus, one day, Jesus' blood relatives came. And they asked to see Jesus. Jesus was ministering to a multitude. And they said, your mom and your brothers and sisters are here to see you. They're here to talk to you. And in Matthew 12, 46, actually 49 and 50, Jesus said, look around. There was a multitude around Him. He said, here is my mother, my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my family. So Jesus' family expanded. There were a few, maybe, anyway, some from our church went to the Tillamook Men for Christ meeting last week, and there was a fellow there speaking named Waffle, who was a missionary to Uganda. And as he was sharing, he said, I really didn't want to come back to the United States. I didn't want to come back here because I have family in Uganda. And they've been in a drought for 3 years. He shared a story of this lady who would came and asked for food. And one of their policies is they don't give food away, but if you're willing to work for it, they'll give you food. So she began working, and so she would work. They would send her a plate of food home, heaped up, send her a plate home. She'd come back, send her a plate home. Come back, send her a plate home. One day she quit showing up. And asked the lady's name. Said, oh, she died. What? What did she die from? She starved to death. How did she starve to death? We were giving her all this food, and what she would do, she would take the food home and feed it to her children and grandchildren and do without herself. So Waffle said, I really did not want to come back here because I have family who are starving to death, and when I get home, when I get back to Uganda, some of my family will have died. When Jesus said your family will expand, did you know that your Christian brothers and sisters can become so more close to you than your blood relatives? And that's what Jesus was talking about. You're going to have 100 times more than you have. Whatever you left behind, you're going to have 100 times more than whatever you left. Jesus said, this is your reward. You just, whatever you leave, God is going to multiply that. He's going to multiply that. And it's greater than you can ever imagine. If you've left houses behind, it's greater. Here's what I'm thinking. When I get to heaven, I've been able to lead some people to Christ over the years. And when I get to heaven, some of those people are going to come up to me and say, Brad, come visit me in my home. I got this mansion by the river of life. Let's go fishing. And there's more. A lot of times we put so much emphasis on our temporal and everything here, we forget about the eternal. And what the disciples, what Jesus is asking his disciples to do is to leave the temporal and put your emphasis and your mind and your heart into the eternal. It's greater than you can even imagine. It's greater than you can imagine. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. You can't even imagine what God has for you. You remember the guy named Elijah? So Elijah needed a disciple. He needed a protege. And one day, God tells Elijah, I want you to go down and I want you to choose a guy named Elisha. Now, Elisha was 130 miles away. So Elijah goes down and he finds this farmer, Elisha. And in 1 Kings 19, let me tell you a little about. So Elijah was a prophet of God, for some of you who don't know. And Elijah did many marvelous things. One of the things he did is he prayed that wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. It tried to get the attention of the Israelites. Another thing he did was he prayed for lightning to fall from heaven, and it burned. It sucked up water. It broke the stones. It melted the stones, Scripture says. And it burned up the sacrifice because he's having this competition with the prophets of Baal. He said, you pray to your God and see if he'll answer by fire. I'll pray to my God, see if he'll answer by fire. And whichever answers by fire, That's going to be the true God. And so he prayed, and behold, fire came down. Of course, above the Baal prophets, nothing happened for them. Elijah raised someone from the dead. Elijah was fed by ravens. During the drought, God would bring him, and probably these crows would go and snatch food off the king's plate and drop it in front of Elijah. Marvelous things happen in Elijah's life. And so God said, Elijah, I want you to go to Timnath and get Elisha to take over for you because I'm taking you home. So Elijah went, and here was Elisha. And Elijah took his mantle and he threw it over Elisha, which basically was saying, follow me, be my disciple. I'm going to be your leader. I'm going to teach you what you need to know. So he threw his mantle over Elisha. And Elijah says this in verse 20 of 1 Kings 19. Please let me kiss my mother, my father, and then I will follow you. And Elijah said, go back again. For what have I done to you? So Elijah was giving Elisha permission to go back and tell his family goodbye. But he also said, asked him a question, go back, what have I done to you? And what he's asking him to do is count the cost. When you go back and tell your mom and dad goodbye, you need to count the cost. Because it's going to cost you. And you know what Elisha did? He had some yoke of oxen, and he took his oxen, and he killed them, he butchered them, he took his plow, made of wood, and he cut it up, he started a fire and had a big barbecue. He barbecued his oxen, he gave food to all of the workers, basically saying, I'm burning all my bridges. I don't have anything to go back to. I'm following you. And so, he followed Elijah. And if you were to read about Elisha's life, he also began doing mighty works himself. Actually, he did twice as many, if you count them in Scripture, as Elijah did. Because he had asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Okay? He said, Elijah said, what do you keep following me for? Because God's going to take me home. He said, I want the double portion of your spirit. Elijah said, well, if you see me when the Lord comes to get me, then you're going to have a double portion. And so he got a double portion of Elijah's spirit and was able to do some miraculous things himself. Elisha would have never been able to even conceive of what God had for him. Never conceived of it. It's more than he could have imagined. Fast forward. Elisha has a protege. His name is Gehazi. Do you remember Gehazi? So Gehazi was following Elisha everywhere he went, learning from Elisha. One day, Naaman, a leper from Syria, comes up to Elisha and asks him, will you heal me? And Elisha says, go to the River Jordan and wash yourself, dip in the River Jordan 7 times. And so Naaman goes to the River Jordan. He dips into the Jordan 7 times. On the 7th time, he comes up and his flesh is like a baby's. All of the leprosy is gone. He comes back to Elisha. And he says to Elisha, I've got all of these gold and garments that I want to give to you, silver, and I want you to take it as a present, as a gift. And Elisha said, keep your gifts for yourself. This is a gift from God. Just keep it for yourself. Gehazi chases him down and says, Elisha changed his mind. He's had some people come in from a foreign country visiting, and he would like some of that silver, and he'd like some of that gold, he'd like some of those garments. And so, would you part with that? Oh yeah, I'll be more than happy. So Gehazi lies so that he can accumulate those things for himself. And he takes those things, and before he gets home, he hides it, digs a little ditch, and hides his little treasure trove. And he goes back to Elisha, and Elisha says, where have you been, Gehazi? And Gehazi says, oh, just wandering around, just doing what I do. And Elisha said, don't you know that my heart was with you whenever you asked for all those treasures? So here's your reward. The leprosy that was on Naaman is going to come upon you and your family. You get to keep the stuff. You know, many of us want convenient Christianity. We want to be like Gehazi. We want the things of the world and the things of Christ. But you can't have both. Maybe you can, if the Lord chooses to bless you with the things of the world. But a call to discipleship is, Peter said, I have left all and followed you. So I'm asking you this morning, what is the Lord asking you to leave behind? I believe that a person can know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, receive eternal life by asking forgiveness of their sins, and receiving Christ into their heart, trusting Him, and stay an infant all their life. But Jesus says to you, will you be my disciple? Maybe you, throughout your life, have given yourself to different things of the world and you realize that's really not satisfying. And I want to tell you the honest truth. What is satisfying is giving yourself to the Lord and following Him completely. That will satisfy you. And God says, if you will do that, I will take care of your other needs. I will supply your needs if you will give yourself to me totally and completely. Many of you last week, I think I counted on my tab, about 15 people came forward to say, I want to be a disciple of Christ. You need to understand there's a cost. You need to understand there's going to be some tribulation involved, some trials, some difficulties. And he says, count the cost. Count the cost. But the rewards are so much greater than the sacrifice. Father, I come before you today. Well, this is, the gospel isn't easy sometimes. Because we have invested interest in the things of the world. Or there was a fellow who came to you one time that had lots of money. And he asked you, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? You said to sell everything you got, give to the poor. And he went away very sorrowful. Lord, I don't know what you're asking each individual here this morning, what they need to do, what they need to give up, what they need to give to you, what they need to walk away from to be your disciple. But Lord, you're calling each one of us to follow you in a deeper way. And so Lord, I come before you this morning and just ask God that you would help us to see with your eyes the temporal things perhaps that we've given ourselves to, and then the eternal things that you have in store for us. And so Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're calling us to do. Lord, we have no idea. We can't even conceive what you have in store for us who love you, who give ourselves to you. Lord, and part of it is what you have planned for us on this earth, not just when we get to heaven, but what you have planned for us now. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you. Lord, search our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we did last week, I'm going to ask you, if you are